This is the Bloomington Review with Jim Inman
on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL.
Good evening, Bloomington. Happy Friday to you. The last Friday of January. It's hard to believe we're into February, and this weekend is a big weekend across the country for a couple different reasons. Of course, the Super Bowl number 49 is going to be here on WGCL. We've got Seattle taking on New England out in Arizona, and we're going to have all of that coverage right here on AM 1370 and 96.1 FM. Coverage starts at 2 o'clock Sunday afternoon, so make sure that you tune in for that and enjoy the big game. There's been a lot of discussion about this game over the last couple weeks, not only since the AFC game with the Colts and the Patriots, but then you get into Deflategate and the saga continues. So again, all of your coverage for the Super Bowl, the 49th annual Super Bowl, right here on WGCL this Sunday starting at 2 o'clock. Jim Inman joining you on your Friday evening, or if you're catching us Saturday morning, glad you are joining us. It has been a hectic week, personally. Just one of those weeks where you're very glad that it's Friday. You're very glad that things are wrapped up for a few days. And with the forecast that we'll talk about in a couple minutes, Sunday might even be a relatively quiet day, or I should say a day to stay home and enjoy a little bit of relative quietness with the white stuff expected in the forecast. If you're catching us Friday night, no high school boys basketball this evening. That's actually going to be taking place tomorrow, Saturday, January 31st. Columbus East is coming to Bloomington High School North with a 7 o'clock chalk talk. Joe Smith and the boys will be taking that. And then at 7:30, it's the tip for that game this week. So a little bit of a different schedule than normal. But again, all of that will be over at AM 1370 and 96.1 FM. You can also stream it online, WGCLradio.com. With Sunday's forecast, which we'll get to here after the break, of course, WGCLradio.com has your information for school closings. We'll see how Sunday shapes up, and if there's any question that there might be a school closing or delay on Monday morning, check out WGCLradio.com. We'll have all of that information, and Mike Glasscott will be announcing that as well Monday morning on Glass in the Morning. Hopefully, you all had a good week. I think it was pretty decent for the most part, and I'm just glad to be here with you. Mr. Piller is going to be joining us in just a little bit, along with our guest this week, Pat Wilson, teacher from Bloomington High School North, talking about the Bloomington High School North Habitat for Humanity build. It's coming up already. Pat was just on the show, it seems like a few weeks ago, but actually it's coming up on the year, and we'll be talking with her in just a little bit about what's coming up with that wonderful project for the Bloomington High School North kids and a lucky family here in Monroe County. Next week on the show, Julie Warren, the Director of Tourism from Visit Bloomington, is going to be joining us and talking about a lot of things coming up. We're going to get into Valentine's Day, and then immediately, well, I shouldn't say immediately, within a few weeks after that, hard to believe as we're talking about snow this weekend, spring break's around the corner. So let's see what Julie Warren brings to the table next week. Looking forward to having her on the show. As I mentioned, of course, hectic weekend with the Super Bowl on Sunday, and then on Monday is the infamous Groundhog Day, February 2nd. Punxsutawney Phil, we'll see if he sees his shadow or not. I always forget if he sees it, it's six more weeks of winter. If he sees it, then we're in the clear. My feeling is that even whatever it says, nobody really knows the answer. So we'll see what old Punxsutawney Phil has to say out in Pennsylvania. But we have been very lucky that we haven't had that much snow this year. I'm a fan of snow. I like the white stuff. However, last year was a bit of an overkill. So I will gladly take a little bit of a break this year for the snow. But I still want to be able to take my three Labrador Retrievers out and let them run and play. Got a nice little hill near my neighborhood that do a little sledding, stuff like that. You gotta have a little bit of fun. I saw a picture, on Facebook from the National Weather Service out of Boston, and it looked like it could have been taken in the 1910s. It was a beautiful photo of those old brownstone type homes all nestled in together, and a little kid on a sled going down his road, I guess, and it was completely snow covered. They had the mounds on either side around the sidewalk area, but this little kid looked like he could launch right there and just fly for miles. And, every little kid needs to experience that kind of winter fun once or twice in their lives. Or if you're not so much a kid anymore like myself, well, that's okay too. Get out and enjoy it while you can, if you're able to. And if you're not a cold weather fan, stay inside, throw another log on the fire, turn the thermostat up a notch or two, get yourself some hot chocolate, find yourself some recipe online, make yourself some homemade soup, and enjoy a nice Sunday with your friends and family, because it is Super Bowl weekend. That all being said, again, Mr. Piller is going to be joining us in just a little bit, what we needed to get started with the show. So, of course, Facebook.com/TheBloomingtonReview. Check us out over there. Like us, follow us, hit us up with information. We'd love to hear from our listeners, so make sure that you check out Facebook.com/TheBloomingtonReview. And if you miss any part of the show, WGCLRadio.com has all of our shows, past and current, as well as all of your local broadcasting here on AM 1370. Your Money with David Hayes, In the Zone, Joe Smith Reports, all of that is over at WGCLRadio.com. On Twitter, at WGCLRadio, and of course, Facebook.com/WGCLRadio. Yeah, I hope you had a good week. I had a good week. It was a nice week. So let's see what we've got in store in news. We're going to take a quick break and get to that, get your weather forecast as well. And then, as we mentioned, I mentioned, because it's me at the moment, Pat Wilson from Bloomington High School North will be on to talk about Habitat for Humanity and that building project. Stay with us for a little bit. We got plenty to talk about. Much, much to come. Have a great one, and we'll be right back here on The Bloomington Review. Welcome back, everyone, to the Bloomington Review. Jim Inman joining you, and glad to be part of your lives tonight, Friday night, or if you're catching us Saturday morning on the replay, thanks for waking up with us here on WGCL. Hey, I forgot to mention before we get to the forecast, some other important sporting news here on the station coming up. Despite the very tough loss that we'll talk about in sports between IU and Purdue, March Madness is just around the corner, and it's coming to WGCL. We're going to have all of your tournament action right here on the air. This is not going to be streaming online, so you've got to have the 96.1 or AM 1370 on your radio dial to enjoy this. But the coverage is going to begin on Thursday, March 19th, starting at noon. We're going to do some preempting of our regular programming, Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity, and such, so we can cover the tournament. And that's going to go through all the games up to the national championship on Monday, April 6th. So not only are you going to get the Super Bowl this weekend here on WGCL, but we're also going to have the big dance, the March Madness, and all that good stuff right here beginning Thursday, March 19th. Now, before we get to news, let's get you a forecast for the weekend. Friday night, partly cloudy, low around 17. Saturday, partly sunny, high near 39. Not so bad. Not so bad at all. Oh, wait. Saturday night, snow likely, mainly after 1 a.m., cloudy with a low around 30 degrees. Then on Sunday, snow with a high near 33, chance of precipitation 80%. Yes, it's coming, ladies and gentlemen. And if you look into early next week, the highs are going to be in the mid-20s to the lower 30s. So it's going to be a cold spell that's coming through starting on Saturday evening. And again, all your weather, all the time, right here. Excuse me, at WGCL Radio and WGCLRadio.com. Let's get you some state and local news and all of that. And I think one of the biggest things that came about was Justin. Have you heard about Justin? No, we're not talking about Justin Case. No, we're not talking about that Bieber or whatever his name is. No, it came and it went. Governor Mike Pence killed the administration's plans for a state-run news service on Thursday this week amid a national uproar that literally caused ridicule for the idea across the political spectrum. The Indianapolis Star reported that Pence announced in a memo to state agency heads that they would no longer be launching the Just In website, and that they would instead update the state's online press release system and state calendar. In the memo, Pence wrote, quote, however well-intentioned, after thorough review of the preliminary planning and careful consideration of the concerns expressed, I'm writing you to inform you that I have made a decision to terminate development of the Just In website immediately. Now, the Indy Star broke the news of these plans late on Monday this week. The planning documents obtained by the newspaper spoke of having press secretaries write, quote, stories, and having the, quote, news service compete with other independent media outlets on stories. The plan quickly became the object of ridicule across the country, drawing comparisons to state-run media in countries such as North Korea and China and even Russia. Pence and his staff slowly walked through the idea before Pence finally pulled the plug on Thursday, as we mentioned. He went on a conservative talk show Wednesday to attempt to distance himself from the plan, but was pressed by host Greg Garrison to say he would reject any state-run news service that his staff built. In documents that were circulated among state agency press staff last week, they had the feel of a finished product with a style guide that included branding and story formatting guidelines. Justin, managing editor Bill McCleary, who's a former Indianapolis Star reporter, asked press staff to submit two, quote, evergreen stories each by February 6th to be ready for a late February rollout of the news service. This was a big one, folks, and that's all I'm going to say about that. On the local scene, this could be another big story here for Bloomington and Monroe County residents. Monroe County could potentially lose $5.3 million in property tax revenue thanks to two state rulings regarding how big box retailers' taxes are figured. According to the Herald-Times, Assessor Judy Sharp broke the news to the Monroe County Council on Tuesday that a December decision by the Indiana Board of Tax Review could slash assessments for all commercial and industrial buildings in the state of Indiana. The board ruled in December that an Indianapolis Meijer store should have been assessed at $30 per square foot instead of the $83 assessment it was given by Marion County. Marion County could have to pay as much as $2.4 million in overpaid taxes to Meijer, and a similar decision was made in favor of a Howard County Kohl's store. So a building is usually assessed based on how the building is being used at the time. But the ruling treats the Meijer store as if there were no business there. And again, Assessor Judy Sharp called it the, quote, dark box law. So what does this mean for Bloomington Monroe County? Well, Sharp and her staff calculated the potential loss to the county, taking assessments down to 45% of what the office assigned them previously. For the big box stores, things such as Target, our local Kroger stores, Sam's Club, the assessed value would drop by more than $60 million, and the county would lose approximately $1.8 million in tax revenue. But Sharp said that it is probably the tip of the iceberg if the rulings are allowed to stand. Other businesses and restaurants are already appealing assessments in some counties, and based on Sharp's calculations, lowering of other commercial building assessments like Cook Urologicals, General Electric, and even the Herald-Times office could drop assessed value countywide by $112 million. That results in a tax loss of $3.3 million shared by taxing units such as city and county governments, Ellensville, public libraries, and schools. If that assessed value and tax money is lost, other property owners will see their taxes increase. But here's the other kicker. That increase will not make up the entirety of the lost taxes because of Indiana's tax caps. The caps do not change tax rates for the various taxing units, but ensure that property owners pay no more than the fixed rate set by the state, which is the 1, 2, or 3% of a primary residence, secondary residence, or non-residential property's gross assessed value, or the property value set by the county assessor's office. So in short, according to Sharp, everyone will hit their caps almost immediately of the possible property tax loss. Monroe County lost about $819,000 to the caps in 2013. Marty Hawk is a Monroe County Council member and is on Glass in the Morning every Wednesday at 8 o'clock. You can catch her interview and thoughts about this over at WGCLRadio.com. A couple other important stories before we have to take a break. If you've been down to French Lick any time in the last several months, you might want to double check your identity and your credit score and things like that. 2 weeks ago, according to Fox 59 out of Indianapolis, French Lick Resort learned its credit card payment system may have been compromised. People who visited the resort between April 23rd of 2014 and January 21st of this year and used a credit or debit card may be affected by the theft. The resort discovered this issue on January 13th of this year. They say that the malware was introduced to the payment system, and no credit cards used at the resort after January 21st are believed to be at risk, and the malware has since been eliminated. Contact the French Lick Resort if you are concerned and have any questions. And on a much lighter note, I love this. I love old folks. They're good people. The Meadowood residents are behind a new alcohol bill that hopefully will give them a little bit of cheer every now and again. In April of last year, you might recall that the Indiana Excise Police cited Meadowood for not having an alcohol permit. It was kind of a fluke in the code because it doesn't list senior residence facility along with things like a convention center or other places. So the residents at Meadowood are hoping that there will be a change in the law that will come this year and restore their ability to drink alcohol in their homes because that is where they live. So on Wednesday this week, State Representative Tom Dermody, who's from LaPorte, he presented House Bill 1542 during a House Public Policy Committee hearing. And that would clarify that alcohol could be served at a senior residence facility without an alcoholic beverage permit. Committee tabled a vote on the bill, and Meadowood resident Michael Byrd testified at the hearing on behalf of the community, noting that residents consider their apartments, their yards, and all the common areas of the Meadowood estate, as well as senior centers, as part of their homes. It's just a little bit funny, but yet it's very true. And residents have sponsored alcohol for some of the dinners and social events since all of this has taken place, but they really want it to go back to the way it was. And hopefully the legal system will give them a little bit of love and libation, I guess you might call it. That's the local news for you. We're going to take a break. When we come back, David Piller and Pat Wilson have just walked into the studio. We'll talk to them about the Habitat for Humanity build with Bloomington High School North kids and much more. Plenty to talk about in sports as well. That IU-Purdue game was rough, wasn't it? Did you make it up till 11 o'clock, 11:20 when it ended? Yeah, it was rough on Wednesday night. We'll talk about that, plus Super Bowl this weekend and much more. Stay with us here on the Bloomington Review. Welcome back, everyone, to the Bloomington Review. Glad you are joining us on Friday night / Saturday morning, whatever the case may be, or if you're catching up with us at WGCNRadio.com. If you missed any of the show and you're catching the podcast and the replay, thank you for tuning in online and in the studio. The wonderful and talented Mr. David Piller.
Hey, Jim, it's good to be back. Good to see you. How
are
you?
Last week. I am good. How about you?
I always miss you, yeah.
I know. You know, but, we have that. We have that love.
I obviously had to dip into the WGCL sick bank last week. I was so busy, I don't remember where I was. Oh, IU had that game against Maryland on Thursday yes. night, and then I had a ball game on Friday night. So, yeah, I don't even remember what all happened, but
it's okay.
I do appreciate
the sick bank is dry, by the way.
Well, I thought we turned the calendar and started a new year.
but, you know, it's not like one of those where you can keep writing checks and you think you've still got money in the bank kind of thing.
Oh,
not quite.
Okay.
I'm just kidding. It's all good.
Right.
So,
all right.
Well, glad you're back this week.
On my way in, Jim, into the studio this evening, I went to the WGCL closet. You know what I do when I go to the closet, don't you?
You pull out the red carpet.
I knock the dust off the red carpet, and I rolled it out tonight, Jim, because we've got Pat Wilson with us tonight, and Pat's a returning guest, a two-time guest here on the Bloomington Review.
Yes.
So we are so excited to have Pat back because not only is it getting close to Pat's birthday, which is important that we have to cover, but in addition, it's habitat season for Bloomington High School North. And Pat, thank you for being with us tonight. We always appreciate you having some time for us here in your busy schedule.
Well, I certainly appreciate the fact that you invite me each year, and I really look forward to talking to you about Habitat.
But before we get to Habitat, did you know that he was going to bring up your birthday?
Absolutely not.
Yeah, well, you know what? We're all coming to about the same age, 38.
Yes.
You know, we're all kind of coming to that number.
Right.
So
again, we got Super Bowl, we got Pat's birthday, we got Pat's anniversary with her wonderful husband Gary coming up. We've got the evening for Habitat, and that's why Pat's here tonight, Jim, because Bloomington North, as you probably remember, is the most active high school student-led Habitat organization in the world, and Pat is the sponsor behind that, and Pat has just turned an early idea into something that is marvelous and something that truly has a sustainable effect in a positive way on not only the families that are involved, but also the greater Bloomington community. So, Pat, Habitat at Bloomington North started when?
We actually started in 1998. And at that point, we did not have what you call chapter status. We were granted chapter status in 2000, and we've been building houses ever since. This house that we'll be dedicating in February, February 21st, will be our 14th Habitat House. And this house has 5 bedrooms, 2 bathrooms, 2 stories. So there'll be some very happy children and their parents.
Oh, that is amazing. And Pat, so how many people, the very first Habitat meeting you had at Bloomington North, it started with you and a student, or you and a class having a conversation about substandard housing and just change.
Well, actually, it was really interesting. They said, we know you're a volunteer in the community, but what do you do that is sustainable over time? And at which point I threw that back at them and said, let's research the problems that Bloomington might have. And we were all shocked at the lack of affordable housing. And I did not realize that Monroe County had one of the highest rental rates in the state of Indiana, which made our mission even more imperative. So we managed to make a connection with Monroe County Habitat. We began as volunteers with Habitat and then went ahead and went through the process of gaining chapter recognition and then the fundraising that goes with that.
Well, and that's one of the things we'll talk about tonight is the fundraising. But the house that you're going to dedicate on the 21st, where is that located? There's a Habitat. There is some land now that's been endowed. Is that correct? That is for right. Habitat.
This particular house is in the West Point neighborhood, which is over by Cook Pharmaca. And we have actually several homes on that block. Our newest adventure is going to be on the Beeline Trail.
And that's exciting.
That has been approved. I believe we're building 32 houses there.
And when you say we, is that Bloomington North High School project of 32 homes or the Monroe County Habitat?
Monroe County Habitat.
Okay.
And then what we do is we co-sponsor one home each year, but we currently provide 45% of the labor to Monroe County to build the other houses.
Let me ask, not to get off track a little bit, but when you build a house, obviously you have all the manual labor of hammers and nails and things like that. Do the kids get involved in some of the technical stuff like the electric, the plumbing, things like that? Or how does that aspect work?
That, because we face the same inspections at any home that's built in Bloomington, Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
So everything has to be done according to code mm-hmm. and policy
sure.
and procedure. So that does involve licensed electricians, licensed plumbers. But we are really great at swinging hammers. We're really good with siding. we're pretty good at crawling under the foundation,
mm-hmm.
Even when it's muddy out. So
I think Pat's talking from personal experience.
Yeah, there's no question about that. But the kids do get involved, but there are some limitations about what the kids can do based on their age. Is that correct?
First of all, they have to be 16 to be on the build site. Now, they can drop food off for the volunteers prior to that. But they have to be 16 to be on the build site, and they cannot use power tools until they're 18, and they can also be up on the roof, which is a really big thing when
right.
a North Habitat student turns 18. They just hope there's a roof somewhere they can get on that's associated with a Habitat home.
Right.
I had a new roof put on this year. I would have welcomed them to come out and
yeah.
hammer down a little bit.
I can see that, though, Pat. I can see students graduating up and getting that status. It's kind of like, you know, the big man on campus status that you're okay at the beginning. You're going to take food, which is so important when you're
right.
feeding a giant workforce. That we don't want to diminish any of the roles that these kids mm-hmm. have. But, you know, getting to provide the food and then, now I get to start, you know, doing the hammer. I get to start doing these things and then I get to be on the roof. So have you seen kids?
Oh, just watching their little eager eyes looking up. And they always seem to be looking up to the roof. And then they go, I'm a roofer. And that's uh-huh. like, oh, the ultimate, you know, in Habitat land at Bloomington North when you've hit that status mark.
Well, Pat, how important, you know, in your opinion, is the spirit of volunteerism and instilling this volunteerism into high school students and what does Habitat do for that?
It's absolutely imperative for us to get students engaged in the community when they are prior to the age of 18. We know the stats. If we can hook the kids at a younger age, that passion to improve their community and to help forge those policies that create a place people really want to live in, that needs to happen when they're in high school.
Wonderful, wonderful. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about the dedication ceremony that's coming up and how the entire Bloomington Monroe County community can get involved with this. And this is great. This is a good, good deal for this community and especially for those kids at Bloomington North. So we'll take a break. We'll be back here on the Bloomington Review. Welcome back to the Bloomington Review. Jim Inman and David Piller, along with Bloomington High School North teacher Pat Wilson, talking about the big Habitat build coming up. Pat, have you found your family who's going to be living in this beautiful new home?
Yes. It is the Vargas family and their children. And they are just a lovely, lovely family.
Good. Good, good, good.
Javier and Nubia are the parents.
They're going to take all five bedrooms?
I do believe so. Since five children and...
Oh, yeah, so, definitely then. Yep.
Well, that's awesome.
Wonderful.
And Pat, talk a little bit about what that family's commitment is to this house.
Oh, this is what is so wonderful about Habitat. It is truly a hand up, not a handout. And when you donate a dollar, that dollar is recycled forever because this family and all other Habitat families pay back the full cost of the materials involved in building their home. And they do that with an interest-free mortgage, but the interest that they have paid has been through sweat equity. Each adult puts in 250 hours of sweat equity, and then depending on the age of the children, there is a hourly requirement that they must also work on the homes.
Wow. That's great, because I think there's probably a misconception out there that with Habitat, it's like, oh, you're giving someone a house. Oh, no.
Nope.
No, we're simply providing some support so that
Correct.
People can get easier access to a house that they may not otherwise. Because quite honestly, some people can't afford the interest rates and even qualify for the loans. So this idea of that exchange of work and for the house and modeling that work ethic to their family. I think that's such a huge part of this.
It really is. And what's so exciting is that the students at North see the enthusiasm and excitement of the family. And we watch the house go up 1 week at a time. And it is so empowering.
When do you build? I mean, kids are in school during the day. So are they doing this right after school or weekends or?
Saturdays. And it's fascinating. We do not have a problem getting students out at 7:45 a.m. It's still dark out.
Absolutely.
Cook Pharmaca has been nice enough to let us park our cars in their parking lot. And then we just walk over to, in this case, the West Point neighborhood where the house mm-hmm. is being built. And they're bright-eyed, bushy-tailed, ready to go, 8 a.m., whether it is cold, whether it's snowing, whether it's muddy and raining.
Right.
But their commitment to eradicating substandard housing is so inspiring.
Wonderful.
Well, and again, anytime that you can get kids out of bed on a Saturday morning that early, this shows you the level of dedication that they're involved. Another thing I know that you and the kids that work on these houses just absolutely delight in is the opportunity to provide some books that goes along with that, that goes along with every house that you've built for the last couple houses now.
Yes. Books for Building Lives was an initiative that was begun actually by our Bloomington North librarian, Kathy Lozier, at 3 a.m., woke up with this idea about literacy and what we needed to do with Habitat homes. And so since then, we have been gathering books. The Book Corner has been very helpful about setting up a little display for us. And so you think of a bridal registry, we have a book registry. And so we have book titles that are appropriate to the age of the children and the parents so that books can be purchased there and then donated to the family.
That is great.
And then we have wonderful volunteers who build these beautiful bookcases. And so it's a win-win for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it's just something else that's sustainable. We talked about how, the money is recycled back through, but also the opportunity for kids to learn and that literacy, that's going to help just moving forward, obviously. Let's just go without saying. So this is great. We've talked about the volunteers and we've talked about the families part, but we have to be honest. We need money for this all to happen.
We definitely need money. Yeah,
now's the time to dial for dollars.
Yes, this is the time I begin to grovel.
Yeah, and so you've got your big event coming up, Pat. This is your big, you know, Super Bowl, if you will, this time of year, which we'll talk about Super Bowl on WGCR Radio live, Jim. We'll talk about that in sports. But until then, the Super Bowl for Habitat and for North Habitat specifically comes up February 12th at the Convention Center, Pat.
Yes, it does. It begins at 6 o'clock, and we will have a silent auction, a live auction, and a lovely dinner. And Jimmy Dean Coffee will be the auctioneer this year and his team. So it's kind of new, so there'll be some things like a bidding frenzy and something called Heads and Tails, and just be some wonderful entertainment. We have Charlie Jessup playing music. And it should be an absolutely exhilarating evening. And in the end, what we hope is we have raised enough money to build house number 15, which we've already said committed to begin building next August.
So you're saying I should bring my checkbook and
yes,
my credit card?
Correct.
Okay.
We have a credit card machine.
What kind of things? I was fortunate enough to be the winning bidder for a trip to Florida last year, which was wonderful. Is that back this year?
Yes, the All condo right. and Siesta Key is back. We have a wonderful villa in the Bahamas. The Pratts have been All nice right, enough right. to donate again. We have tickets to Disney World
in Florida.
Okay. In Florida, which is something new and different for us. We have a French Lick package, golf, spa, etc.
Doing any tickets this year? Cubs tickets, IU tickets, anything like that?
We have some fabulous basketball tickets
good.
Along with an awesome parking spot. And that also comes complete with dinner.
Yeah.
So a little dinner before, a little ball game, and we have several autographed sports balls from IU coaches.
So do you walk in right. that evening, or how do people get registered?
Oh, no,
you have to be pre-registered.
Okay.
And tickets are $40 a piece, and I think I'll let David give the information as to how they can get a hold of me for tickets. We are going to be cutting ticket sales February 2nd. As I have to get a confirmed number to the convention center for the event.
So we've just got a few days if you want to get registered.
Yeah, exactly. By the end of the day on Monday, we'll kind of be it. So, of course, as always, you can call Pat at her house, which is 812-339-7145. Her cell phone is 812-219-8447. We'll have all of this stuff listed on our Facebook page, www.facebook.com/TheBloomingtonReview. You can also email Pat at pwilson@mccsc.edu. That's our Monroe County Community School Corporation email. Or if you don't have access to Facebook or you didn't catch any of those numbers I've just run through, call Bloomington North on Monday. If you call Bloomington High School North, 812-330-7724. Call North's main office. They will track Pat down. They will get you in touch with her if you want to get tickets. Remember, tickets, they're going to stop selling them on Monday. The event is Thursday the 12th. This will allow the time to get the catering numbers set up and get seating arranged. But Pat, if people want to help but can't attend, is there another way that they may be able to help you out?
Yes, they are more than welcome to write us a check, and they can send it to Bloomington North. They can also go online, and we will have that on your
Yeah, we'll have that on the Facebook.
We're going to Facebook page too. WGCLRadio.com. We'll get it all taken care
Perfect.
Of.
Perfect. And so we have had people that have simply donated money online, and it's helpful if they just say it's just a donation when they go
right.
online to do that.
Yep, and all we're making checks out to North Habitat.
No,
because,
North Habitat. We just make them out to Habitat.
Perfect. That's even easier.
Yep.
You don't even have to write North anymore, people. Just
nope.
write down
just,
Habitat. And
just write
give
down
us,
Habitat.
Give us some money for this event. And it's really worth it. It's wonderful. Pat does just such a beautiful job on this. We've seen the stories of the people that have had houses built for them in the past. The things that come out of this are more than just a physical structure of a house. I think that's the best way to put it. So it's an exciting event. Again, we'll have all of this information on our Facebook page. Call Bloomington North if you want to help and get in touch with Pat. And also, Jim,
Yes, sir.
Pat was just recently named by the Bloomington Monroe County Chamber of Commerce and the Franklin Initiative as the Lifetime Achievement Award winner for the schools. So, Pat, congratulations. Couldn't be more excited about that. So well deserved. Anything else that people need to know about?
What happens at the ceremony? Or is this a public ceremony?
Yes.
Let's talk about the dedication real quick.
Will be on February 21st. It's a Saturday. It will be at 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
We do provide hot chocolate and cookies.
Okay.
And it is a beautiful passing of the key to the house and the bookcase to the children and their parents. It's a very touching, very moving, and very inspiring event. And we encourage anyone in the community who wants to see something beautiful happen,
mm-hmm.
because everybody came together, people from every age category, from all walks of life, all coming together to provide a beautiful home for a lovely family.
Wonderful. Wonderful.
Pat, thank you so much. We appreciate it. Appreciate all of your hard work for all of the kids and for these families and all that you do in the community. This is just another great example of it.
Well, thank you so much for having me on and letting me talk about Habitat.
We're going to take a break, and we're going to talk about sports here in just a couple minutes. Stay with us right here on the Bloomington Review.
Sports.
Just a few minutes left in the show this week. Glad you are joining us. And Mr. Piller and I are getting our groove back. And thanks again to Pat Wilson for coming in. No boys high school basketball tonight, Mr. Piller.
Is that that's off now?
It is.
We have no Friday night game,
night.
But we've got tomorrow night. If you're with us Saturday, there's basketball tonight.
Okay, well, if you're catching
like
the replay,
yeah,
okay,
if you're catching the replay on Saturday, there's basketball tonight.
Go ahead and talk for the next 4 minutes.
Well, I need you, Jim. Let's not lie here. But if you are with us on Saturday, we do have basketball tonight. It's Columbus East at Bloomington High School North. The Olympians, coached by former assistant coach at Bloomington North and former Owen Valley coach Brent Chitty, come in to town to take on Andy Hodson's Cougs. Again, a sectional matchup that we could be getting a preview to. Should be a good game. Joe will have Joe's pulling double duty with
Joe's
the Hoosiers.
Been all over the world.
Yeah, the Hoosiers with Rutgers at 3:30 Saturday afternoon, and then Joe will have Chalk Talk, easy for me to say, with Coach Hodson, 7 o'clock, and then 7:30 tip. And I wouldn't be surprised if Joe maybe got a word in with Chitty too, since he's a Bloomington mainstay. Then next week also we've got basketball for you on Friday night, Columbus North, Bloomington South. That'll be another great sectional mm-hmm. preview game with Jason Spear bringing his Columbus North Bulldogs to town. Josh Speedle going to Vermont, already signed his D1 scholarship. But Jim, high school hoops, great stuff going on. Girls sectional, the draw will be this weekend, Sunday evening, IHSA.org. You can follow that to see where our local teams will go. We'll talk about that in the future. But let's talk Hoosiers just for a little bit.
Wednesday night killed me, dude.
Yeah, that was a tough one.
9 o'clock tip, number one.
9 o'clock tip, first of all. That was, my goodness gracious. That I fell asleep in the second half. That doesn't happen very often. Occasionally when I'm at the scorer's bench, I'll fall asleep, doze off a little bit. And it was pre-conference games.
I'm sure Chuck Crabb appreciated
that. Well, Chuck usually elbows me. That's how I wake up. Anyway, here's the thing, Jim. Purdue played really, really well. And I don't want to say they overachieved, but at the same time, they played a really good game.
A physical game.
Yeah, they played a physical game. And we've been waiting all year to see what's going to happen when IU plays a team with some real bigs. Because Ohio State had a couple big guys, but Amir Williams and Lee, they're not big like A.J. Hammonds. And like the other big guy, his name escapes me at the moment, but he's huge.
Yeah.
And, the Hoosiers are going to have that. And IU did really, really well on the rebounding. It was the points in the paint that killed the Hoosiers. So Yogi was on, shot the ball pretty well, had 21 points, but he took 20 shots to get there. So his three-point shooting was pretty decent, but he put up the points. James Blackman, the only other Hoosier in double figures. Isla fouled out. Hartman early foul trouble. He fouled out. And, of course, the Hoosiers are still playing without Hunter Mascara-Perea for right now. But, it's the Big Ten, Jim. It's the season. Some places around the conference, snow is on the ground. Luckily not in our area quite yet. So now you rebound. You come back with a home game against Rutgers. That's a team you should probably be favored and probably beat. Eddie Jordan, former NBA coach, former NBA player, brings the Scarlet Knights for their first Big Ten conference game in Bloomington to Assembly Hall Saturday afternoon. So I think it'll be a good chance for the Hoosiers to rebound, and they have to, Jim, because we've got Wisconsin coming up. We've got Michigan coming up. There is no slouching for the IU basketball schedule. So we shall see what's going to happen. What we know won't happen is we know that Devin Davis won't be back on the court this season, and Coach Crean mentioned that. Of course, everyone knows at this point that Devin Davis was involved in a car accident over Halloween. With that, suffered some traumatic brain injuries, and he is not enrolled back as a full-time student here at IU. He's with the team. He's doing some very, very light physical rehab-style things in practice, but beyond that, nowhere near where he's going to have to be for a Division I play. So we'll see how that breaks out as far as a redshirt year comes involved. There's a lot of indefinites out there right now. So Coach Crean will keep everyone updated on how that might look.
Also, former Hoosier ball player Will Sheehy's going up to play in Fort Wayne.
Yes, he's going to be in the D-League. And I'll tell you what, if I had to play for a team in the D-League, Jim, I would really love to play for a team called the Mad Ants. And so Will Sheehy is going to be a Fort Wayne Mad Ant. If you recall, Sheehy played a little bit in the NBA Summer League with the Knicks. The Mad Ants, I don't really know who they're affiliated with. We're going to have to get Doug Hughes on the phone to find out this NBA scoop. But Will played in Montenegro in the fall, averaged 5.2 points, 2.2 boards in 9 games. But when he returned from a short break, he came back to find out his coach had been fired and some craziness happened, and that was the inside scoop that I got. So he left that situation back here in the United States, back in Indiana. He's a Florida guy, if you recall, from Stuart, Florida. But he's back in Indiana, where I'm sure the Mad Ants are looking at this like, well, that's a pretty good opportunity to get someone in here. Damon Bailey's a former Fort Wayne hoopster. So,
you're right. Before we have to take a quick break, Super Bowl this weekend.
You know, the Patriots have so much going on. They're going to be playing angry to try to dispel all of these cheating things, but I think Seattle's defense is too much. So we're going to go Seattle. We're going to go, what do you think, Jim? 31-17 Seahawks. You heard it here first. But more importantly, you can hear it on WGCL. And the coverage starts at 2 o'clock this Sunday, Super Bowl Sunday. It is your home for local radio coverage of Super Bowl 49 in Glendale, Arizona. And Jim, we've got huge news coming up about the NCAA tournament
that
we're going to talk about later on WGCL.
Teased it earlier, but we're going to take a break because we only got a couple minutes left. Stay with us here on the Bloomington Review. Just a couple minutes left in the show. Thanks again to Pat Wilson from Bloomington High School North and the Habitat Build Project. And we'll put all of that detail about contacting Pat, about the event, about the dedication, everything on facebook.com/TheBloomingtonReview. It'll also be up on the podcast section of WGCL Radio over at WGCLRadio.com. Mr. Piller, the forecast is a little bit chilly this weekend.
Friday night, Jim, partly cloudy with a low around 17, but Saturday partly sunny, high near 39. Saturday night, snow likely mainly after 1 a.m., cloudy with a low around 30. And then Sunday, snow, high near 33. Chance of precipitation is at 80%. Earlier in the week, 3 to 5 inches. Glass is telling us later here in the morning this week that it's down to about 1 to 3 inches. But be careful.
Yep.
WGCL Radio, of course, is your home for the radar and also for closings and delays Monday morning if we have anything. So just get locked in, and Glass will lead you through everything you need to know.
And as we mentioned early on in the show, Julie Warren will be on next week talking about some fun stuff going on around Bloomington, Monroe County. And also coming up on WGCL, since we've been talking about basketball,
Yes. Some
cool stuff as well.
March Madness is coming to WGCL. All of the tournament action carried on air. They won't be streamed, though, Jim. You've got to tune in to 96.1 FM or 1370 AM. We will not have that streamed because of some regulations well above us. But tournament coverage begins on Thursday, March 19th at noon. So we will really be tipping off the NCAA tournament here at WGCL. Couldn't be any more excited.
That is exactly right. So, again, if you miss any part of the show, facebook.com/TheBloomingtonReview or go over to WGCLRadio.com for all of that detail. And you're off next week, I understand.
Yes, I've got basketball. We're ending the basketball season with regular season with some games here in the girls' season. Then we'll get into the tournament. So I'll be excited to talk to people about that and everything.
I'll coerce Julie to stay on for the full hour. The
Bloomington lady will be here and I won't be. So send her my love. We love Julie Warren here at the Bloomington Review.
All right. Thanks, everybody. Have a great weekend. Stay warm, stay dry, and we'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.